It is also planning to expand detention in military bases with tent camps, as well as local, state, and prisons, federal prisons that have gone on empty for years. This is expansion of disastrous proportions.
I want to thank you so much for being with us. Eunice Cho, senior counsel at the ACLU National Prison Project, lead attorney in the federal lawsuit. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Queens Parkinson's Kingston is a student-led club dedicated to raising awareness, fundraising, and supporting those affected by Parkinson's disease in both the Queens and Kingston communities. On September 6th, join Queens Parkinson's Kingston for the 2025 Parkinson Canada Super Walk, taking place at Lake Ontario Park and running from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Learn more by reaching out to QPK at clubs.queensu.ca and following Queens Parkinson's Kingston at queens4pd.kingston on Instagram.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gales!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Cuomo! Cuomo! My goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
CFRC from Kingston, Ontario, your volunteer program, campus and community radio at 101.9 FM and on the web at cfrc.ca.
This sit-down interview is part of our ongoing Gales Game Day coverage brought to you by The Grad Club. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll enjoy. Good afternoon, football fans. I'm Jesse Bell. I'm here in CFRC's Studio A for a special sports broadcast. CFRC has the pleasure of hosting a trio of respected veterans from your Queens Gales. Gentlemen, give the folks at home a quick intro to who you are, what year you're entering, and what position you play, and we're going to start in jersey order. So please, take us away.
Jersey number 14, Jared Seaway. I'm a DB from Calgary, Alberta, going into my sixth year.
My name's Ashton Miller-Melançon. I'm a fifth-year DB from Montreal, Quebec, and I play defensive back.
I'm number 74, Jazz Carroll. I play offensive line.
So we've got two defensive backs and one of those big boys up front. And actually, all three of you gentlemen have spoken with me over the summer for CFRC at the Lang. When I got the email saying, yeah, these are the guys that are down, I was like, oh, fantastic. Always great to get the vets back into the studio with me. So guys, first and foremost, obviously, thank you for joining me. The time of publication, you guys are going to be actually just towards the end of your training camp. Busy, busy time here in Kingston. And on the note of training camp, I'd actually like to begin there. What is the overall atmosphere at training camp this season, and how does it compare to past seasons?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of excitement around training camp right now. We got a lot of veterans back and a lot of young energy coming in. So just every day we're working towards our goals of just, you know, improving every day and becoming the best football players possible. And there's a lot of excitement and there's a lot of intent towards those goals right now.
Yeah, just to add on that, I think it's been really competitive. Really competitive training camp more than other years. We can feel a better energy between the guys, and I feel like everyone's a lot closer this year, sort of pushing each other, and we're all working toward that one goal of winning a championship.
Yeah, just like what these guys said, I think the Brotherhood's been the strongest it's ever been, like, to this point, and a lot of competition in camp, and we're just excited to start the season.
And I know that there's been a lot of guys that have been here in Kingston over the summer as well. One of the big constant points that we talked about with CFRC at the Lang is kind of not just growing that Brotherhood, but how strong it is this year in particular. It feels like with the kind of veteran players that you guys have back, and now some of the new young guys that are getting worked into the system as well, this feels like a team with a great deal of potential around it. Just kind of building on the training camp note, are there any players that have kind of impressed you this year at training camp, either with the attitude, their performance, or a mixture of factors?
Yeah, honestly, it's really all the young guys coming in have come in with the correct attitude and a willingness to learn, a willingness to follow the standard and do what needs to be done mm-hmm. to become the best version of themselves. So it's just the whole recruiting class in general, the young guys from the last couple years really buying into the system has been really impressive to see, and it's really set a great standard for the future as well.
Yeah, I think it's a big good thing comes from the recruiting. I think they did really well. Good job of recruiting and bringing in the right guys that are going to fit in with the team. And yeah, they've been really good. Energy's been great, and it's great additions to the team.
Yeah, to going off what these guys said, like a lot of young players that I think are going to step up this year, and guys who may not have had playing time before who have looked good in camp. So we're excited to see what they do.
You guys are all veterans. You've been through camp multiple times now. If you were a young player, like, what kind of advice would you give to a young player to help them kind of stand out in camp? What do they do that really kind of gets your attention as a veteran?
Yeah, the big thing was just to be, you know, listen to instruction and follow instruction. Don't deviate from the path. We have a set system. We have a set standard in place here. And the guys that have the most success are the guys that, you know, follow the standard and do what needs to be done. They don't try to do other people's jobs. They don't try to stray away from the path. So just being consistent with that is something that really catches the eyes of ourselves as veterans and coaches as well.
Yeah, I would say is just put your head down and work, man. And like a lot of young guys need it. They come from high school, heavily recruited, getting looked at from American schools. They think they're going to come in and just play right away. I think it's a big thing to just come in, put your head down and work. There's a lot of learning to do, learning the system, learning how to do proper technique. So my biggest advice is just watch the older guys in front of you, see how they go about things, and just write notes and just do all the little things right.
Yeah, I think it's just like attention to detail. Like everybody comes in as a rookie, like you're the guy, you're high school, like very highly touted, but you come in here and you realize everybody's like that, everybody was the guy at their high school. So it's just being in tune with our systems, listening to coaches telling you, listening to the advice of the players who have been here before, and just like Jazz said, putting your head down and work, and it'll pay off.
Yeah, there's that kind of inherent ego check that you need to have. And it's interesting to note because, yeah, you get to a place like Queens and everybody, as noted, was that guy in high school. But now they've got 5-6 years of physical development behind them as well. I think that's a fantastic point as well for young players of just the guys that have been there before. They know the standard, follow their lead, do what you can to impress them. But like Ashton noted, you know, do your job. You're not going to be able to do anybody else's.
Exactly.
And I'm personally, like, from the journalist side of things, I try not to interfere too much with training camp. I let you guys do your thing, do your work, but I am actually going to be attending a couple training camp events. I'm pretty excited to see how this 2025 Gales team is shaking out. And by the time this reaches our airwaves, it's Wednesday, August 20th, so 3 days away, less than 72 hours away from the season opener here at Richardson Stadium against the Western Mustangs. It's a marquee matchup. Week one is full of fantastic matchups across the OUA, but I think it's fair to say Queens Western is always the headline grabber. What does this rivalry with Western mean to you guys as Queens players?
Yeah, honestly, just any opponent we play against is a big game for us. We try not to get our heads too high and make a situation bigger than it really is. So every opponent we treat with the same respect, we treat with the same intent, and we just focus on prepping for them and doing our job and just, you know, keeping the focus on ourselves, not focusing on the other team. So regardless of who we're playing, we like to just keep it internal and just focus on being the best versions of ourselves and not letting the opponent kind of dictate how we're going to approach the situation.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Ashton. It's about keep internal and knowing that if we play our best football, we can compete with any team in the country. We just got to focus on ourselves, and any opponent that comes in front of us, we're ready to go and ready to win that football game.
Yeah, obviously every team we play, we respect, the Mustangs included, we respect them. But it's just about taking it one day at a time, being in our systems, and take every game the same.
No, absolutely. And that certainly is in line with, I think, the approach that this team has had really throughout the Coach Snyder era. But it's got to be pretty cool to be a part of a rivalry that has nearly 100 years of history behind it. Very first game, October 19th, 1929, actually a week before the Great Depression started. So there must be some kind of sense of, I mean, I guess I'll put it to you this way. Does it feel cool to be part of the next chapter in this rivalry that is the oldest and, I think it's still fair to say, most intense and most publicized in Canadian football?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And given that we're such a historic program, we have a lot of rivalries like that as well, like the University of Toronto, McGill, even if that was just preseason, Ottawa. So we have a lot of respect for all of our opponents that we've had this long history with. And you know, it's obviously a great opportunity to get them to play against them and just try to write that next chapter of history. But at the same time, like we've said, like we've preached, we don't blow things out of proportion. We kind of just try to keep a level head as we head into it. Don't let the rivalry affect us too much and just kind of, you know, keep things internal and handle our job.
Yeah, I also agree. And having that long rivalry for that many years is definitely cool, and it helps put Canadian football on the map and show other places in the world that Canadian football is really good football, right? And yeah, that's the best thing, part of it.
Yeah, like Jazz said, it's obviously cool to be part of such a storied rivalry, but when it comes to the week of the game, it's more just treating it like every other game and doing what we need to do.
So I guess in that sense then, you don't necessarily feel that added pressure of playing your rival on home field to kick off the season.
Not necessarily, no. Every game we play comes with, you know, a certain amount of pressure to meet our standard and to meet the goals that we set out to achieve. But the opponent that we play doesn't affect the amount of pressure we feel, because like we've continued to preach, our focus is on doing our job. So there's a pressure to, you know, continuously do your job properly, but there's no added pressure really when depending on who the opponent is.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Ashton. We just got to focus on ourselves and play our game, and we're gonna be just fine.
Yeah, if we respect every team that comes to Richardson Stadium, we're just going to stay in our systems and follow the game plan.
Okay. I do have to ask, because people are always curious. Obviously, there's been some close calls. Western, incredible program. Like, I know there's obviously a respect there that you guys hold. There's a respect there that the fans hold. We know they're good. They're strong. They're always one of Canada's best. Without going into specifics of the game plan, what do you think you have to do as a team unit to walk away with a victory in this home opener?
Yeah, I just think we have to, you know, we have to be physical. We have to be smart, and we have to be disciplined. We can't be taking stupid penalties. We can't let them bully us. We need to put our foot forward first, and we have to pay attention to our assignments, know our job, know what we're doing. As long as we do those three things well and stay within our subsystems, I think we're going to have a great opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with Ashton again, and I think another big thing is just staying steady throughout the game. There's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. We just got to learn to reset and go back to our game and just keep pushing forward, right? It's going to take us a long way, and that's what's going to get us that win.
Yeah, it's just about doing your job, staying within your role, not trying to do someone else's job, just staying within our systems and executing the game plan.
Yeah, not playing hero ball, so to speak. And I think something that both of you have touched on, both Ashton and Jazz, is maintaining that kind of consistency, the highs and the lows. Western is a team that they are incredible front runners. They really do like to hit you hard, hit you early, and try and take control of the game and set that pace. What kind of mental toughness do you need to have as a player, knowing that your opponent is going to be swinging first and often swinging hard?
You know, just coming into games, we try to be the aggressors. So we don't want them to hit us first. We're going to go and hit them first. And that's kind of the mentality we're coming into the game with. We're not going to be the nail. We're going to be the hammer. And that's kind of how we approach every single game, and that's how we're going to approach this game as well.
Yeah, and we've made it a big priority for us this training camp that we're going to be the most physical team in the league, right? We're going to take it to those guys, and we're not going to stop all 60 minutes.
Yeah, like Ashton said, like they're going to be swinging, but we're swinging too. So we're just starting the game off strong and executing our game plan.
And I will say, especially in the last year, one of the strong suits of this team, certainly in 2024, you guys always got out to a hot start. There were often either touchdowns within the first two drives offensively or one or two big energy plays defensively. I've talked to Coach Snyder about this before. He praised kind of a new, more active warm-up that you guys have. What does that active warm-up look like? Can you explain to the listeners at home that may not be familiar with what that looks like?
Yeah, so we just we get on the field, you know, a couple hours before the game, and we do a lot of dynamic movements. So we do a lot of explosive jumps, full sprints, just to get the body fully warm, so that, you know, the first time we're actually doing something super explosive isn't the opening kickoff of the game.
Right.
We're getting our bodies prepared a couple hours before, so that once that opening kickoff, once that first drive starts, we're already mentally and physically ready to go dominate someone on the field.
Yeah, and with that warm up, I think we're just going to take steps even forward, more forward, because we just hired a full time S&C coach, right?
Oh, fabulous.
So he's going to be adding stuff, improving that warm up, and it's just going to get better and better and help us get ready for the first play of the game.
Yeah, it's definitely beneficial to do like high intensity things before the game and just kind of get in that mode and get into that dominant mindset and get ready to play.
It certainly paid off in 2024, and if all goes to plan, I think it'll be a hot start for 2025 as well. We've obviously talked about some of the historical significance of this game, you know, the latest in a long rivalry, but this is also the community game here kicking off our season. Why is the community game such an integral part of the Queens football calendar?
Yeah, you know, we treat the community game with in a high, very high regard, just because it shows all the support that, you know, the Kingston community has for the football team. Mm-hmm. Shows that, you know, the people around the city are supporting us, and that they, you know, they have Queens football on their mind, and they want to see us have success in the same way we want to see the community thrive.
Yeah, I think this goes hand in hand with our goals as a team. We want to be the most respected in the community as well, right? Not just on campus. And this game, being a community game, one of the biggest games of our season, is awesome because we bring the community to show what we do every day, day in and day out, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, obviously Kingston, the true university town. Like, we know the fans have our back. We have like such like a great network of fans, and it's obviously amazing to be able to show our gratitude to them and play in front of them and just put on a show for them.
And obviously there's been a long history of that rich relationship between Kingston and Queens, but I will say your generation, because you guys are now in your fifth, sixth years, I think is the team that has really embraced the Kingston community most kind of wholeheartedly. I've seen you guys at events in the community. I've seen some of the younger guys, your underclassmen, that are involved over the summer in coaching and youth mentorship. How did that culture of kind of community embrace begin, and what has Coach Snyder and the rest of the coaching staff, how have they cultivated that closeness with the community over your time here?
Yeah, the community outreach from the Queens football program and just all of our events that we do within the community really stem from Coach Snyder, because he, you know, set goals for our team, and our most important goal is to be the most respected team on campus and in the community. So when your head coach is, you know, telling you, like, this is like a primary goal that we want the program to have, you really buy into that, and you see how important it is to him, and then you see how important it is to the rest of the staff, and then you, you know, feel that importance, and you feel that need to be the most respected team on campus in the community in your heart. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, once that's instilled in you, like, you just, and then you go out in the community and you do great things, you just want to keep doing it because, you know you're helping out your community, you know, helping out your city, and you know you're creating positive change.
Yeah, and to add to that, I definitely want to say that the coaches have preached, like, it's not about just becoming a better football player, but becoming a better man. Mm-hmm. So coming to university in your recruiting process, that's something that they preach. You're going to come here and you're going to leave as a better man, and helping out the community is a huge thing, right? Even when you're older, you're living in a neighborhood or you're living in a certain city, being a part of the community is huge, right? You're going to make positive change in that community. It's going to help everybody grow. So, yeah.
Yeah, obviously it's easy to isolate yourself and just worry about winning games day in and day out, but I think Coach Snyder has done a great job, like Jess said, making us better men, and the coaches give us plenty of opportunities to give back to the community, and obviously guys are chomping at the bit to go take those opportunities because, like I said before, like, the Kingston community is so great. They back us like wholeheartedly, and it's like the least we could do to give back to them in any opportunity we can.
I like that. And there is that sense of, it's an internal kind of humbleness, but yeah, you guys are aware of kind of the impact you have on the community, and now I think the team is aware of the impact that the community can have on their performance. On that note, what is your pitch to the community? Why should they come out to watch Queens football, not just week one, but at all the home games throughout the regular season and hopefully the postseason as well?
Yeah, you know, I just think that the community should come out to the game and support us, one, because, you know, we're going to put on a show, and we're going to give you something to cheer for, and we're going to give you something to feel good about while at the game and then once the game's over. And at the same time, you know, we're active members of the community, and you know, we go out and, you know, try to help people, try to make change, try to support, and you know, we just love any support that we can get back as well from the community.
Yeah, and I'd like to say that there's nothing better than Richardson Stadium on a Saturday afternoon. So we're going to put on a show, like Ashton said, and it's the best thing that's happening on a Saturday.
Yeah, I think the guy summed it up. Like, where else would you rather be on a Saturday afternoon, right? So we're going to put on a show. It'll be a good time. It's good to see all the fans out there, and yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Saturday afternoon, and this year, a Friday night as well. And I'm going to say right now, if you've never been at Richardson at night, that Saturday atmosphere honestly might even be cranked to the next level when the lights are on bright. Yeah. It is such a cool experience. I'm pretty stoked for that game personally. Okay, quick little rapid fire round here to close us off, guys. Favorite pregame meal? Just tell me, what is it you're eating for the game? You can either do night before kickoff. What's the meal?
I'll go first. I think it's just regular pasta and ground beef. I think that's my go-to. It's simple.
Pregame, nothing crazy, just regular breakfast, eggs, bacon, you know, toast, that's it.
Night before, I mean, this past year it was a lot of chicken parm, garlic bread the night before, and then morning of, yeah, just keep it nice and simple, some eggs, some bacon, some fruits, and just, you know, get ready to play.
Yeah, the big protein intake. All right. Favorite pregame song? We are a radio station after all, so I'm curious if there's an expletive in the title, you know, just throw the beep in there, I'll make it work.
Honestly, I'm not a really big pregame song guy. I need no headphones. I need to hear everything around me, and I'm more of an imagery guy. So I'm gonna like vision what I gotta do on the field that day, and it's less. I gotta be more locked in than listening to music.
Yeah, it's like whatever playing in the locker room as I listen to it, but it's obviously you want to get in the right mindset. Like pray. Just get ready for the game.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big hype music guy before the games. I'll just put my headphones in on the field, listen to a little country music, listen to some R&B before the game, and just, you know, mellow out a little bit and just kind of lock in.
Interesting. Okay, because it usually is one of two approaches where some guys, you know, like tears in their eyes, yeah, they're amped up. But I also, when I played football, was more of kind of the mellow guy. Like, I get where you're coming from totally. Like, you do need to kind of get yourself attuned to the environment. You need to get yourself right, you know. If you're someone where faith is an integral part of your day-to-day life, like, absolutely. I think those are all extremely valid answers, and I think honestly a pretty interesting look into what that pregame process looks like. Okay, funniest person on the team, who comes to mind?
Oliver Jackson.
Oh, OJ.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one, too.
I'm in agreement.
Oliver Jackson. OJ. All right, I got to track
close, close second, though. Oso is the same.
Oh, yeah. They're 1A and 1B, in my opinion.
Oso, I've heard about. Ollie, okay. Yeah. OJ, all right. I got to follow up with him about that. That's interesting to me. Okay, I'm curious. Do you guys, are you aware of the Queens football alum? Is there a favorite Queens football alum, a player that played for Queens that kind of just comes to mind? It could be somebody that coached you, mentored you. It could be a guy that you grew up watching. Who comes to mind when I say that?
Yeah, honestly, for me, this might be like a basic answer, but I think of Eric Colonna. He was like the true definition of a Gale, hardest worker out there, and he was my mentor my first couple years here. So he's always someone when I think of a Queens alumni, especially at the defensive back position. Yeah. It's Eric Colonna for me.
I got to shout out Eric, too. Obviously, being a older guy when I came in, definitely helped with my work ethic. Got to shout out Danny Brannigan, obviously, at Yates Cup win. Coach Ben Dandria, he coached us here, played before. So, yeah, a lot of storied alum.
Yeah, I'd have to say Jacob Butler. He was here in my first year. Mm-hmm. He kind of took me under his wing and taught me a lot. Yeah, he taught me how to go through with everyday stuff and how to become a good football player. So yeah, big shout out to him.
My answer's biased. I went to Sydenham High School, so way back in the day, we're talking, yeah, it would have been on the Vanier Cup team. Tom Howes, quarterback turned into tight end. Love me some Tommy Howes. Okay, last one. So Jas, we'll start with you. One word to describe Jared, one word to describe Ashton. What's the first thing that comes to mind when I talk about the gentleman around you here?
That's a hard one.
I know. This one's tricky.
I have to say Jared. He's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just one of the smartest guys on the team. He's studying some science stuff. I don't even know. But he's definitely a smart guy. Ashton, I would say he's like, what's a word to describe him? This is a hard one.
This is the hardest question.
I would say preparation. He will do whatever it takes to prepare for a game. He's always locked in. He's always a leader in that kind of sense. He knows how to prepare for stuff. He knows how to prepare his body, and guys look up and look. Everyone looks up to him, right? He's one of our leaders, and yeah, he's awesome.
All right, Ashton, over to you. Jared and Jazz, what comes to mind?
Jazz, first word I think of is physical. He's on that O-line throwing guys on the ground, you know, taking people's souls. Something you love to see out of your O-linemen, out of your leaders on the O-line. And then for Jared, I'd say technical. You know, I've been playing next to him for a couple years now, and there's no other boundary corner I trust more than Jared Seaway. And I know that, you know, he's got the ISO, or we're running, you know, coverage next to each other. I know he's going to be technically sound. He's going to do what needs to be done to get the job done.
Took the word out of my mouth for both guys, I will say. On my pregame notes, that's usually kind of word 1A for each of them. All right, Jared, close us out.
For Jazz, I'm going to go dog. Like, it's pretty simple. Like, he brings it every game, and you know exactly what you're going to get from him and his physicality, and it sets a tone for the rest of the team. Ashton, I'd say prepared. That's probably not the best word, but it's just like playing beside him, you know, like he knows what's going on. He's very prepared for the game. He knows the game plan. He knows our game plan, and he's ready to execute day in, day out. And it gives you a lot of peace, like playing beside a guy like that, knowing he's gonna do everything in his power to win for the team.
Prepared, absolutely. There's few people I've seen kind of come in day one seemingly as ready for the game as you have been, Ashton. I mean, your first year, what, 4 or 5 interceptions? Didn't look out of place at any point playing against some of the best players and teams in Canada. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. I had a lot of fun. I hope you did too. And folks, of course, season starts in less than 3 days' time. Richardson Stadium, 3 p.m. kickoff. Queens versus the Western Mustangs. I'm telling you right now, if you haven't been to a Queens football game before, fix that this year. The team's going to be great. They've got some fantastic leaders. And it's the most exciting way to spend a Saturday afternoon, and then this year as well, a Friday night. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's interview. Thank you as well to our title sponsor for the 2025 edition of Gales Game Day, the Grad Club. Tune in on Friday, August 22nd at 8 p.m. to catch my 30-minute season preview.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present the second single from the Winter in Canada's forthcoming untitled album, due out on August 22nd. The new track called Tides is true to the band's sound, with an aggressive downbeat and roaring guitars and bass. You can check them out on all the streaming platforms and pre-order the album, available digitally and on vinyl. For more information, check out thewinterincanada.ca or find them on Bandcamp and Instagram. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Tides by The Winter in Canada on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Welcome back. You tuned into 101.9, the program. That was Geese with the new track, Trinidad. Today's going to be an extra long episode. I got an extra half hour this week, and I think I will be doing a bit of pop and post-punk. To continue with the post-punk tracks I'm going to be playing, I got a new track by Lip Critic and another post-punk song outside of Montreal. And from listeners that often tune in, it is not Family Man, except they did drop another new single too called Overthrow. So if you guys do like Family Man, you won't be getting any today, but you can go listen to the new track. Coming up next, I got Fikes and Fixe, F-I-X-E, by Choses Sauvages, and Second Life, that new track by Lip Critic. And yeah, just with that new track, Trinidad by Geese, JPEG Mafia was on the chorus. I was right. The leak I was talking about the other week was true. So yeah, that was pretty cool listening for the first time. But I'll stop talking. Coming up next, I got Feeks. So stay tuned.
Just that thing I can't admit to myself.
All right, well, that was Lip Critic with Second Life. Yeah, new track by Lip Critic. Excited for the next album. Yeah, sorry today if it sounds like I'm all congested and blocked up and sick. Just me back home. I'm a little addicted to my cat, so I just got to deal with this for today. Sorry. But coming up next, I'm going to go into the Art Pop section of the episode. And this will be most of the episode today. To sum it off, I got some Canadian stuff, and it's the first track is the intro to Bernice's album, and it's just titled Entrance Music, but I thought it'd be a nice way to start this off. After that, I got Le Canadien Ardent by another Montreal-based artist, then Alix Bon Voyage, the single she dropped after the album last year, and it's on the deluxe album. Probably one of my favorites of that year. And then I got Munya with Captain Ron, a track that I've been playing on here a bunch recently, but I wonder if I didn't love it so much. So, yeah, thanks. Stay tuned.
printemps, mes larmes séchées au grand vent.
Welcome back. That was Munya with Captain Ron. Haven't really heard of anything from Munya since she dropped her debut in 2021, but really excited for if she does. Coming up next, I'm going to be playing another Canadian one, and this one is from Grimes. And although Grimes gets a lot of hate from both the music and internet communities, she was really a pioneer in electronic and pop music, especially in Canada in the 2010s. And I play a lot from debut album, like songs like Genesis, Oblivion, Succumb Ambient. But this track, Flesh Without Blood, is one that I heard on the radio a lot, and I feel fits best with the other songs. And coming up next, Flesh Without Blood by Grimes.
It's